Steve is going to come now and he's going to read to us from the scripture.
Let us hear the word of God as it is written in Psalm 23. So that's Psalm 23, entitled, "The Lord is My Shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen, and may the Lord add his blessing to his word.
Well, we come again to look at this great psalm, continuing in this short series of sermons in Psalm 23, and it is a timeless psalm, a beautiful psalm, timely and timeless. And the words of this psalm in verse 1 are so enriching, and indeed all the way through this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it is a great statement to be able to say this morning, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I would say particularly to you, if you're getting older and you're reaching sort of the latter stages of your life, if we say about a person, they have more years behind them than they have before them, it is a wonderful thing to be able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And to have that assurance, as we read in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, I wouldn't want to mislead you, though, however. This is a psalm for both the young and the old. It was a psalm that was written by David, probably as an older man, but as he reflected on his life and how God had been his shepherd. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, we read these words, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Solomon is speaking to the young there. And it's important to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because he goes on in that chapter to talk about before the days come when you say, "I find no pleasure in them." And then he lays out a number of things about the disadvantages of old age. And one of the things that may be difficult for people as they get older is the ability to reason. Remember, the prophet Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together." And as we think about God's word and what God is saying to us, we need to be able to reason what his word is saying to us. But it's not just about getting old and knowing that we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is, of course, of supreme importance to us. But it is also the richness of knowing God as your shepherd on a daily basis, whether young or old, to know God as your shepherd. There is no richer experience in life than that. And it's the joy, the challenge, the experience that comes with that. And the evidence of that, that God is at work in our lives, is more than simply believing some things about the Bible. We must believe everything that the Bible teaches us, because it's God's word. But we must also have the living reality and the experience that God is at work in our hearts and in our souls. We must have the sense of the will of God in our hearts. And we must have a sense of the presence of God deep down inside the subconsciousness of our hearts. That usually comes in the sense of the inner confidence that God gives to his people. that we're in the truth, that we're walking with him, and that we're being sustained by him, even in the most trying of circumstances in life. So then if we claim that God is our shepherd, there has to be clear things in our lives that show that. And the first thing I want to look at this morning is surrendering to the shepherd and his leading. Surrendering to the shepherd and his leading. Notice here in verse 2, the emphasis is on what God is doing. In verse 2, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. This is going to be really our focus on this text this morning. Let me read it again. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. So the emphasis is on what God is doing and also on what David is doing, his response to God. David is submitting to God. There's submission here. And that is, of course, the heart of Christianity. When we take the eternal truths of God, which are, as Stuart Townend's great hymn puts it, unchanged since the dawn of time, and we submit to these truths, and we take them to our own hearts, and that will define the quality of our Christian lives. It will define the quality and the peace of our Christian lives as we submit to God. Now, it can be shocking at times how hard it is for us as Christians to submit to God. We wrestle on so many things. And even it can be shocking at times how other Christians can, in some ways, seek to prevent us as well from submitting to the truth of God on certain things. They may not know that they're doing it. They may not consciously be deliberately trying to do it. It comes usually in terms like, you know, you're being a little bit over the top with that. I think you're taking that a little bit too literal. It comes in things like that. And even in times, I've had the experience of meeting Christians on the mission field whose parents, who were Christians, tried to talk them out of going to the mission field. And who said, you know, that's not for you. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be doing something else. And that was very difficult for them because they had to go against what their parents were saying, even though their parents were Christians, so that they themselves would follow the leading and the call of the Lord Jesus to their lives. When people try to talk us out of submission to Jesus, often it may be because they think that they're doing something well-meaning, but it's not. It's to take us away from God. We need to listen to him. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 13 and verse 8. Somebody might say, you're taking that too literal. You're over the top with that. It's not expected, not in this day and age. But God says it's expected because Jesus does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we're really saying that the Lord is my shepherd, that Jesus is my shepherd, then we need to listen to him. And we need to follow him. Even if that means going against people that are very close and very dear to us. And that's the second thing here. We need to follow his leading, not theirs, not our own. Our leading must come from Scripture, and we must follow his leading, not theirs. No matter how close we are to people, no matter how dear they are to us, no matter how much we respect them. Now, that will not be easy. At times it will be hard, and it will be filled with great pain, because many of them will be close relationships that we have to go up against. But when we follow Jesus, what we're really saying is, he is my shepherd. See, other people sometimes may try to be our shepherd, and they may be trying to lead us in another direction. And I'm sure that for each of us this morning, we can maybe look back to a time in our lives where we allowed somebody to greatly influence us, either a Christian or a non-Christian. But sometimes, as Christians, we allow ourselves to be greatly influenced by other Christians, and they may in itself bring us out of the way of the Lord in a certain thing. Now, we can look back on that perhaps, but we have to learn from that experience. If you have been led out of the way of the Lord by somebody, even a Christian brother or sister, you have to learn from that experience and you have to look back on it. And you have to say, well, I'm never going to be led like that again. And I'm not going to let somebody lead me like that again. Our ultimate commitment is to God. And you have to choose every day, and so do I, whether we're going to submit to him and whether he is going to be our shepherd or whether we're going to let somebody else lead us and shepherd us and guide us. So look back on the past, if that has happened, and learn from that experience. It is surprising sometimes the power that other people can have over our lives and the influence that they can have over our lives and how we can submit to them rather than to God. And sometimes we don't even know it's happening until we find ourselves a distance from God. That we have to listen to him and we have to be led by him, because God himself will ultimately bring us into a good place. Into a good place. And that's the second thing here. The shepherd gives us rest, refreshment, and security. The shepherd gives us rest, refreshment, and security. Notice how David puts it here in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Notice that David's life is rich with the experience of being led by God. He's rich by the experience of being led by God. It's not dull. It's not boring. It's not lifeless. It's not tasteless, David's life. It's rich and it varies. Now, for the unbeliever, and there was a time when we ourselves were unbelievers as well. We run after every experience in life that we thought would bring us happiness, pleasure, and satisfaction. And in the end, we find ourselves to be dry and parched and worn out and exhausted. Maybe it means working really long hours to try and get that experience, that new bigger house, that better car, or whatever it is that we threw ourselves into. And we were parched and exhausted in the end. And the danger, of course, with the world and its experiences is that people just throw themselves into that river that just is moving fast on the way to a lost eternity. But the Christian is moving, of course, in the direction of where he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, we don't need to have the biggest or the best or the greatest house, because we've already got the biggest and the best and the greatest house waiting for us at the end of our lives. And we don't need to have the biggest and the best and the greatest car or whatever it may be, because God is meeting our needs as it presently stands. Of course, this psalm in this verse has a pleasant experience, and this psalm has other experiences as well that David looks at. And they are difficult experiences. And I wouldn't want to give you the understanding that life is one green pasture and still water. So neither does David want to give us that understanding. But whatever the experience that God brings us into, however difficult, it's the best experience. Because it's for our good, that experience that God gives to us. But here in this verse, it's a pleasant experience that David is talking about. And it's a wonderful experience. Notice that there are two things here. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. This gives us different aspects of the Christian life. Two different aspects that David is showing us here of the life of the believer. Well, firstly, the first part is that he makes us lie down in green pastures. God is the one that's making us lie down in green pastures. Now, it is no easy thing to make a sheep lie down. You ever tried to make a sheep lie down? It is no easy thing. I remember when I was a boy, about 14, in the summer helping some shepherds at shearing time for the sheep. And myself and a few others. And our job was to drag these sheep to the shepherds who were shearing them. And you literally had to take a hold of these ewes by the horns, try and turn them around, then grab their two front legs, pull their front legs up against your chest, and drag them backwards to the shepherd. It's not an easy experience. These sheep are kicking and doing all kinds of things. And not one of them on that day came willingly, and not one of them came quietly to the shepherd to be sheared. But God makes his people lie down in green pastures. And if we are to lie down, and if a sheep is to lie down, a number of things has to take place for that sheep. Well, the first thing is that fear needs to be removed. A sheep will not lie down if it's afraid. A sheep, as I was saying in the kids' talk, will run for miles if it's afraid. And one sheep that runs, the whole flock will follow that sheep, because they don't think for themselves. They just see one running and they run. Fear needs to be removed. A stranger, the bark of a dog, any of these things will unsettle a sheep and it will run for miles. Secondly, the second thing that needs to be removed is harassment. You know, there are lots of things that harass sheep: flies, midges, various insects and all kinds of things that harass them. And a sheep that is harassed will not lie down. And then there's a thing as well called the bully sheep. There's always a sheep in the flock when the others are trying to lie down that goes around and bullies them. Just bullies all the other sheep, because this is it's kind of this battle for who's going to be the top sheep in the flock, and so on. And thirdly, sheep will not lie down either unless they're well fed. A shepherd always feeds his sheep well. He leads them to the best place so that they will be well fed. And we ourselves as Christians, if we're going to lie down, we need to have certain things in our lives that are removed. We're going to follow God, and we're going to follow the Lord Jesus and do that faithfully and right and proper. Then a number of things needs to be removed. There needs to be fear removed from us. The fear of what people think about us. The fear about what people say about us. And we need to have harassment removed from us. Just as the sheep will not lie down when it's harassed by flies and midges and all the rest. There may be things in your life today that are harassing you. And they're not allowing you to lie down and to rest and to be at peace with God. There may be a bully sheep in your life at work or whatever it is. And you're being harassed by that as well. It may be somebody that's making your life miserable at work, whatever it is. But remember this. Don't let that happen. Because God is bigger than any bully sheep. Now, the very God that created the heavens and the earth is our shepherd and our father. And you may be even at a place where you think, well, I've had enough of that job. I can't go there anymore. I can't do that anymore. Are they bigger than God's? Are they stronger than God's? God can remove the harassments as we bring them to him. Maybe it is that somebody said something to you and you just can't sleep properly. It's chewing over in your mind and heart and you just can't rest. You have to give it to God. God is bigger than everything else that you will face in life. And notice here as well, he says, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. Sometimes ourselves as Christians, we just feel that we can't lie down. We feel that the world will fall apart or the church will fall apart if I don't lie down for a while. Well, God has been managing the church for thousands of years without us. And God can raise up people anytime. So we can lie down. Don't lie down too much, though. We'll come to that in a minute. We can lie down. But God can manage the church. Let God manage the church. We follow. Let him manage his church. You see, we can lie down because God meets all our needs, and we shall not want. And this is why God, in his wisdom, has given us a day like Sunday. This very special day that God has put into his own calendar for us. A day to rest. A day where we can relax, where we can be refreshed, fed, watered, and have the security and the truths of God's word and meet round each of those. It's so hard for us, though, to lie down, isn't it? And especially in a modern world, so many of us think, well, I know it's Sunday, but, you know, I've got that pile of emails I want to write today, and I just would like to get them out of the way. Computers are great, but I tend to find that they kind of fry my mind, and I'm exhausted after sitting in front of a computer for a time. And we live in this world as well today where we've got all these kind of mod cons, mobiles and all the rest. And it can be like almost like an addiction for us, isn't it? That we feel we've got to be texting this person and doing that and doing that. It will not harm us in the slightest bit just to turn off the mobile. Now, you might have your Bible on the mobile, so keep your mobile on if you have a Bible on the mobile. That's good. Now, I'm not making that a rule. But I'm just saying, sometimes it makes sense just to turn things off. Just say, I'm just going to spend time with God. Well, how much time do you spend, perhaps, on your mobile or computer or whatever it might be on a Sunday? Could you maybe just give a little bit of that time to God? A little bit of time for reflecting on His Word. A little bit of time, more time. That's, of course, what Sunday is about. I'm not saying that you can't watch a TV program on a Sunday. But what I'm saying is, which will profit you more? Spend time with God or to spend the whole Sunday afternoon in front of your TV? You know, rest and relax in God. Never mind that email. Never mind that text message. Rest in God. You see, the church is not going to fall apart and the world is not going to fall apart because you haven't done something on the Sunday that you can do on Monday. But you will fall apart if you don't spend time with God. And the world is falling apart all the time because it's not resting and spending time with God. It's doing things as if it all depended on itself. You need to find a time and a place every day of the week to rest and to relax, where you can just read your Bible and not be disturbed and spend time with God. I was sitting in my greenhouse yesterday afternoon reading my Bible. It's a great place to be when the spring's coming on and so on. But you need time with God. You need time and you need a place to rest. You see, what it teaches us here in verse 2 is teaching us that God gives us rest, that He feeds us, and He waters us. See, this is very important. This was the problem in Israel with all Israel's shepherds. And we read that passage to start this morning with when Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, He looked out on the people and it says He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were harassed, Matthew tells us. They were harassed by the things of life that were buzzing around them. They were harassed because of the heavy shepherding of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who put demands on the people that they could not meet. And sometimes we may view God like that even. We view Him as Pharaoh who demands what you cannot give, who wants bricks without straw. God's not like that. God wants you to relax in Him and to be refreshed and to have your soul watered and to have a sense of well-being and of being in a safe and secure place with Him and not harassed. That's why Jesus makes that statement. He looked out, says Matthew, and He saw the people. They were harassed like a sheep without a shepherd. And then get into Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and He says, "Come unto Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see how Jesus makes that? Basically, He's saying, don't go to the others. Don't go to these other shepherds. Come to Me. They're worthless shepherds, but Jesus is the good shepherd. So God wants us to lie down, and He may have to make us lie down if we don't willingly lie down. And that will involve God bringing things into our lives that may not be as pleasant as we would like. But in the end, we will see the wisdom of God in doing that. And we will see that He is a good shepherd and that He's wise. So He makes us lie down. But secondly, He moves us on. The second thing here is He moves us on. I said, don't lie down too long. God moves us on. In the second half of this verse, He leads me beside still waters. There's a picture here of tranquility and of security for the believer. And you see, God always creates the right conditions for the believer. God will never take you into a place where the conditions for your spiritual life and even your physical life are not right. God will never lead you into a place where the conditions are not right. You see, verse 2 is an explanation of verse 1. In verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then David says, he leads me in green pastures, or he makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. Are you conscious of that today? Are you conscious of the experience in your innermost being that God is your shepherd, that he's created for you just the right conditions, that you don't have to look for anything else, you don't have to search for anything else, you don't have to push yourself and harass yourself? He says, just lie down, the conditions are right. I've given you the right conditions. And then he says, get up and move on. He said, we have to follow his voice. And how does God give us the right conditions, and how does God move us on? Well, he does it through his word, doesn't he? You know, you may feel harassed and distressed at times, but then God just ministers to you as you read his word. And we were looking a bit at this at the adult Sunday school today. Doctrine and experience. Where God just takes one of his great truths from Scripture and he just applies that into your soul by his Holy Spirit. And you know that God is at work in your soul. Remember Spurgeon, the great preacher Spurgeon. When Spurgeon was a young minister, he was ministering and visiting a lot of homes and families where people were dying from cholera and other things. And one day Spurgeon was overwhelmed with a great sense that he was going to die himself. He had spent so much time around people that were dying. And he was on his way home, and he took a different route one morning, day on the way home one afternoon. And he wasn't even sure why he was walking home that route. And as he walked past this cobbler's shop, there was a sign in the window. And he went to look at that sign in the window. And it was a text from Psalm 91. And the text said, no disease or pestilence will come near your house. And Spurgeon said that in the reading of that text, he felt just the revival of his soul, and that he was able to go on and to continue ministering. Well, we need that. You see, God takes the truth of his word, and when he feeds us, and when he makes us lie down, and when he leads us on, he's applying his word to our souls. You see, we cannot explain something like that away. It's the work of God through his Spirit who puts that into our souls, because God is interested in our spiritual progress as Christians. You see, that takes us to the third thing I want to look at briefly this morning. We progress under the shepherd's care. We progress under the shepherd's care. You know, becoming a Christian is not the end of the matter. We can just become a Christian and we can spend the rest of our life in the green pasture. It's not the end of the matter. It's the beginning. You see, our destination as Christians is to dwell in the house of the Lord. You see, God makes us lie down and then he moves us on. Our destination for eternity is to dwell in the house of the Lord. But between us going to dwell in the house of the Lord and us living our present lives here on earth, there's a progress to be made as Christians. There's something called trust and progress. And our progress depends on our trust in God, not on what other people say. So I began by talking about sometimes how shocking it is that even Christians can try to talk us out of submitting to God in various things. No, we need to be absolutely clear always that it's God that we're submitting to, because the progress of our Christian lives is in this, in the submission of God. The quality of our Christian lives is in the progress that we make in submitting to God, and the bearing that that has on our lives, and the places and the directions that that will bring us. We progress under the care of God. Now, it matters very little to my Christian progress if Scotland gets beaten by England in the rugby. But it matters how I react to that, my progress as a Christian. If I really react very badly to that, and to my fellow English countrymen, then that will hinder my progress as a Christian. It's the little things that hinders the progress as a Christian. You see, secondly, there's a danger when we lie down and we don't get up again. There's a great danger in that for the believer, individually and for a church as a community. We can become comfortable as individual believers, and we can become comfortable as a congregation. Well, I don't want us to be uncomfortable. I want us to be comfortable for all the right reasons and for all the good reasons. But there's a thing, if you know anything about sheep, there's a thing called a cast sheep or a coped sheep. And what do we understand by that? Well, a cast sheep, there's two things about the cast sheep. And firstly, the cast sheep looks for a place to lie down that's very comfortable. And that usually means like a hollow somewhere on a hillside or in a field. And the sheep will lie down in that hollow and then it stretches out its legs. But the problem with the sheep is it can't get up again. And gases and things build up inside this creature that cuts off the blood supply, and particularly to that sheep's feet. And if a shepherd sees a sheep wanting to get into a place that's comfortable, he'll soon chase it out, and quite rightly so. And we must see that for ourselves as well. If we're too comfortable, the Lord Jesus will soon chase us out of that bed that we're making for ourselves. And the reason that Jesus will do that is because he's interested in our spiritual progress, that we're making progress in our lives. And true progress is seen as we follow the shepherd and live under his care. And the second thing about a cast sheep is this, that can make a sheep cast. It's when its fleece gets too heavy. It gets too heavy. Usually around shearing time, a month or so before shearing, a shepherd will carry some shears in his pocket, because sheep whose fleece get too heavy become cast sheep. They can fall over and they'll get up again because their fleeces are heavy and they've been soaked so many times and they're filled with all the debris that they're walking through bushes and fields or whatever else they are, and they've got all these impurities in their fleece. And that fleece doesn't look anything like it was when it started to grow, first of all. And the shepherd will shear it for the good of the sheep. Well, maybe it is ourselves as Christians, our fleece. It's not what it was. Maybe it's not as pure as it was. Maybe it's carrying a lot of baggage and foreign bodies and impurities in it. And Jesus will maybe have to give us a good shearing. Remember in that great passage when Jesus talks about being the vine, and he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he's like, I cut it off, chop it off. We may need a good shearing from the Lord. Maybe our fleece is filled with worldly interests. Maybe it's full of impurities. And that needs to be dealt with. And it wouldn't always be a pleasant experience, but Jesus always has at heart our progress as Christians. That's what there lies on the heart of the Lord Jesus, as we're moving towards that dwelling in his house forever. He has at his heart our progress as Christians. Well, what are the things, really, as we bring this to a close this morning, what are the things that are weighing down your fleece? What are they? Maybe we're listening to other people too much and not enough to God. Maybe we've got too many worldly interests. Maybe we don't take that time that we could on a Sunday to relax and to spend more time with Jesus, because tomorrow will be so busy that you won't have the opportunity maybe to give the quality time that you give to Jesus today, but you will not have that tomorrow and throughout the week. So a Sunday is a very important day for a Christian to relax, to rest, and to be fed and to be refreshed, both in church and at home, in our own Bible reading and as a family. And what about the things in your fleece? I'm going to ask you this question. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the things in your fleece? Well, you can start again today, can't you? Maybe you haven't made a lot of progress lately, but you can start again. You can just say, well, today I'm actually going to start making progress. And I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to turn off the computer. I'm going to turn off the TV. And I'm going to spend time with God today. And I'm going to spend in his word. You can always start fresh. Don't get so disappointed about the mistakes and the failings that you've done. Take them serious and repent of them. But don't let them make you into a cast sheep Get up. Jesus Christ is leading us. He's feeding us and he's guiding us. Well, may God bless his word to us, and may to him be the praise and the glory.